Washington, Size Cube 5. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Gordon Fredrickson. He is an author of many children's books. So stay tuned, because today we're actually going to do something a little bit different. We also have on line Maddie McElroy. She is a 9-year-old book reviewer. She had the opportunity to review several of Gordon's books, so we asked her to come online as well. But first, a little bit about Gordon Fredrickson. He was born in New Prague, Minnesota, and was raised on a 120-acre dairy farm in the hilly, rocky eastern Scott County. And like all local farm children, he began farm work at a very young age. Gordon served in the U.S. Army for 3 years, earned his Master of Education degree at the University of Minnesota, and taught high school English for 16 years. During the first 5 years of teaching, he and his wife Nancy farmed 160 acres in western Minnesota, where they raised cattle, hogs, and grain. If I Were a Farmer, Fieldwork was inspired by that farming experience, and that's the book that we're going to be talking about today. Other books that Gordon include, If I Were a Farmer, Nancy's Adventure, A Farm Country Christmas Eve, A Farm Country Halloween, and A Farm Country Thanksgiving, which will actually be out this August. So for the past 10 years, Gordon has been performing his stories for children and adults in museums, senior centers, elementary schools, libraries, threshing shows, club meetings, and churches. In 2004, he and his wife, Nancy, visited Lyon, France, where Gordon actually performed for an elementary school in Lyon and one of the mountains in southern France. This year, he has been invited to perform at Cobbleston Farms in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So, in an effort to share his local heritage, he has also donated many of his books to local elementary school libraries. His goals are to educate and to entertain by telling the local story of rural America and to encourage others to tell their stories, because a story not told is lost forever. Hi, Gordon.
Hi.
Well, gosh, you are quite a prolific writer. How many books have you written?
Well, I've written 10, and I'm rewriting them when I do them for Beaver's Pond Press, and I have 5 published with them now.
Uh-huh. And they're all children's books.
Yes, they're all that kind of combination of children's books written for adults as well.
Uh-huh. What do you mean they're children's books written for adults as well? Could you just explain that to our listening audience?
Yeah, and it's kind of a hard explanation, too. But what it amounts to is that I'm trying to tell the story of rural America in 1950. So the appeal for the adults is kind of a nostalgic appeal, because they always like to see that I have my facts straight and the illustrations right. And then, of course, for children, it has an appeal because children are telling the story, and it's about a child in that time.
Maddie, do you have any questions for Mr. Fredrickson?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and ask him.
Mr. Fredrickson?
Yeah, call me Gordon.
Okay. What was your inspiration for writing farm books?
My inspiration for writing farm books has to do with the fact that when I grew up on the farm, I worked really hard and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed spending time with my parents and my my sisters and my neighbors. And when my folks passed away, I kind of wondered if that era of history would be told at all. Because a lot of times when it comes to the history of poor people, it isn't really told very much. So I thought I would try and tell it in an entertaining but factual way. And that's why I write stories about farm families.
Matt, I have another question. At what age did you start writing books?
Well, I started writing books about 20 years ago. After I resigned teaching, I was able to find some time to write, and then I wrote a novel and a play, and then I let it sit for a while, and then I started writing children's books about 10 years ago.
Okay. Are your characters based upon real people?
Well, I think every one of my characters does things that some people I know have done. And, you know, they have attributes, they have emotions and feelings like many people that I know. So I suppose you could say they're a combination of people I've known and a combination of what I know I've done myself. To that extent, they're based on real people. But any one particular character is not equal to any one particular real person that I've ever known.
Maddie, I have a question for you. Okay?
Okay.
You mentioned in the review that you thought the book was funny. So could you tell me what the funny parts were that really you felt that were funny and was fun to read?
Well, there was some funny parts in the book.
Can you think of one particular one that you thought was funny?
Well, on one of the books, If I Were a Farmer, Field Work, like, one funny part, the little boy was, like, riding on one of the tractors, and the dog was, like, hanging off on the back.
Oh, that's great. Maddie, have you been on a farm? Have you been to a farm?
Nope.
Nope. Wow. So now that you've read a book like this, I'm sure that you would like to go and see a farm, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have any more questions for Gordon?
Nope.
Is that it? Gordon, do you have any questions for Maddie?
Well, Maddie, I don't offhand, but I really appreciate your reading my books and giving me some pointers and some feedback on it.
Gordon, it sounds like you really captured the hearts of children. And there's obviously some humor in these books. So, and this is through illustrations and also through writing? Or how do you capture that humor?
Well, I think it's kind of hard for a child to maybe even explain what's funny about it, but I think I think Maddie knows, and that is, with the illustrations, I put the dog in the character of a companion with the child, and I have the dog doing some things that maybe another child would have done. In fact, I would have been doing with my father. When my father was doing the work, I would have been where the dog is. And there's some humor in that. And, of course, in field work, there's humor in the fact that on each page, you know, the little boy is struggling doing things the old way, and the little girl is up there in that air-conditioned cabin just having a good old time. I think Sophia mentioned that, too, that she would like to have the new equipment because she wanted the air conditioning.
We're so used to that here in Texas. So, Gordon, your books you mentioned take place in the 1950s. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
So that's 60 years ago. How are you able to transition between 1950 to 2010 and capture the interest of the kids?
Well, kids are interested, I think, mainly because it's a story told by kids, and they see animals, they see tractors, and, you know, that interests them from, I think, the beginning. And the books, of course, become more meaningful the older the child gets. And if they read it for the basic interest of the animals and the tractors and so on, I think then they become more interested in the story and the fact that this is something that happened long ago or could have happened long ago.
So it's sort of, you know, it's that intergenerational, and so I'm just trying to sort of grab my mind around all that too, but I imagine that the kids can also relate to their grandparents or maybe their great-grandparents, because this age group could still have great-grandparents in existence, so.
Oh, sure. When I do, you know, I do a number of shows. I've been performing these shows for 10 years for elementary schools and senior centers, and I do essentially the same show for whether it's people that are very old or people that are very young. I just change the pace and some of the pictures a little bit. But you know, the young people, they get right into the ones that have rhyme and meter, and they ask questions. And they'll ask me, well, you know, my grandparents or my grandpa has a farm like that, or, you know, I've seen them milking cows, or, you know, there's more connections to agriculture yet than what a lot of people believe. I've been in stores in cities, and you know, someone will walk in and they'll say, "Hey, a Halloween book about a farm. Wow, I used to go trick and treating on a farm." And yet, you know, the people in the bookstore really aren't aware of that because, you know, that doesn't come out normally.
Yeah. It's important that we see ourselves in stories, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. I think so often, you know, that was a big criticism about books that didn't show ethnic people in stories at all. You know, and a very valid criticism indeed. How can a person grow up feeling that they're part of anything when they never see themselves in a story? And I think that's true about a lot of groups today that live in situations or that have certain kinds of background where they don't see themselves in stories, or they see themselves in stories inaccurately. And that certainly is the case for farm kids, I think.
Yeah, it seems that, farms are changing, you know, and yours and my generation, farms were definitely different than they are now. You know, just even to, like 60 years ago, 50 years ago, the equipment was different than it is now.
Well, the equipment was really different, and that's, of course, what you see in field work.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to show the same kind of things being done, only being done with different equipment. But, you know, a lot of things are the same, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's still chores to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's still the dedication to the land and getting things planted and harvested. And when it comes to a family farm, you know, there are still a number of family farms, only they're a lot bigger. But you still have essentially the same thing where the, you know, everybody in the family contributes to the workload. Granted, they probably spend a lot more time alone than we did when we contributed to the workload, because they don't, for instance, go out and shock grain with each other side by side or pick rocks side by side with each other or anything like that.
Well, also, you know, way back then, too, kids did spend more time doing chores and working on the farm and, as you say, you know, picked rocks and on the weekends or after school, they had those chores, which is, it's different now because there's so much equipment. You know, 50 years ago, the cows had to be milked by hand. Now, they're a machine. If they even have cows that actually they milk, unless it's a dairy farm. So things have really changed.
Well, the dairy farm, of course, still milk cows, right.
Mm-hmm.
But we had machines in 1952, I think. We got our first milk machines. And,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, milking changed. But there are still a lot of small farms where there are a number of family members that go do milking
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis, and the milking is done usually in milking parlors, although there are a number of stanchions yet that house barns or that house cattle
mm-hmm.
Too, and they milk not the same way because they have pipelines and things, and their buckets are a lot handier than what it was even 20 years ago, but there are a lot of similarities too, and I think that we need to understand that just because something isn't done this way anymore, that's not a reason to forget about it.
That's so true, because we do forget, don't we? You know, at this age of computers, technology, and so on, it just the farm just seems such a distant fact. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the farms actually bring a lot of togetherness to families because they do chores together. They do a lot of things together.
Well, sure. I can remember, and one of my books coming out is going to be about this event as well, but I can remember complaining to my parents as people were driving by fishing with fishing poles tied on their cars that I wanted to go fishing, but we had to go fencing. And, I wanted to go fishing and picnicking, but no, we had to go fencing. Well, we went fencing, and we went out to the pasture, and, you know, I was pretty young, so my parents made it pretty fun. We had a little picnic, and they let me go out and eat some berries and stuff, and honest to goodness, to this day, I'd rather go fencing than fishing.
That's funny. I'm laughing because you can probably still taste those berries.
Oh, sure.
Isn't that funny how those memories and, you know, the smells and the taste still stay with us? And
yeah.
That's such an important aspect of experience for a child.
Yes, it is. And it's something you never forget. The the working with your parents is something, you know, I mentioned any number of people that say that their teenagers kind of drop away from them for a while and don't really want anything to do with them. Well, you know, that wasn't even possible on the family farm because, you know, you were faced with working next to your parents all the time, and there was communication. It had to be.
That's right, you know, and I'm thinking here as I'm talking to you, and a memory that just came up for me when I was a child, I used to spend some summer time with my grandparents. They used to hand milk cows, and I can still smell the smell of that warm milk. And I would get a little dish, and my grandmother would get some milk right from the cow into this little dish, and I would feed the cat. And you know, that's like 60 years ago, and here I am still remembering and smelling that smell of that warm milk. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, those are the kinds of things that when I do shows for little kids,
mm-hmm.
and I do some daycare centers too, you know, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, you know, they'll come up with something like that. They'll say, well, you know, my grandmother lets me help feed the kitties or something like
uh-huh.
that, they'll
uh-huh.
tell me. Or,
yeah.
And so, you know, those memories are still being made.
Yeah.
Differently,
that's
kind
right.
of the same.
And you know, this reminds me of, but at one time, I forget what the situation came up with, but our son just couldn't get it that the milk in the carton that we purchased from the store came from a cow.
Right.
He just couldn't conceptualize that. So we found a farm. We took him to the farm.
Right.
We showed him, and he had that experience. But he just didn't get it that this white stuff that comes in the carton actually came from this animal until he saw it. So,
one of the programs we have around here, and they probably have it down your way too, and that is what's called a day on the farm, where
mm-hmm.
a farm, whether it be a dairy farm or a hog farm or something like that, will kind of throw open its doors to the public for a day. Visitors can just come there and walk around and talk to the employees that work there and see the operation and see them feed the cattle, milk the cattle. We've been invited to a couple of those where we sell our books and talk to the people, and they're really fun because the people, you know, range from old-timers who just say over and over again, well, this is different than how we did.
Oh, yeah. They're the same ones that walk 4 miles to school, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, the younger folks who've probably driven in from town somewhere who've never really seen it,
yeah.
and their kids haven't either. And, you know, they get to experience that whole thing then with
mm-hmm.
cows and the calves and so on and so forth. And,
yeah.
And that's a fun day, and it doesn't cost anybody much either because, you know, they might buy a little ice cream cone or
right.
or a hamburger or something on site. But
mm-hmm.
generally speaking, the whole day's free.
So, Gordon, do you still live on a farm?
I live on a 5-acre piece of what's left of the farm I grew up on, yes.
Oh. And so are you, is your home the original home there that was on that farmland?
No, the original home was not one that was really salvageable.
Oh.
As were the other buildings. It wasn't one of these really nice, big, memorable farms where, you know, the museums would like to restore it. It was a very small farm, and we only had 65 acres tillable, so there wasn't a lot of money invested in buildings and so on. And that again, you know, linking back is one of the reasons I decided this particular level of farming story need to be told, because, you know, so often what gets recorded is the gentleman farmer and all his big buildings and, you know, how wonderful all that was. And,
mm-hmm.
and people go to these and they think, well, this is how farming was, you know, in 1950 or 1900. And the fact of the matter is that isn't how it was at all for most farmers.
Exactly.
Most farmers were really scratching to make mm-hmm. a living, and that's kind of the level of the story I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to tell.
That's great. Well, gosh, you're definitely a prolific writer because you have quite a few books and more coming, obviously. So, Gordon, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to Maddie. But, you know, it's great to have these little people 9 years old be so interested and read your book? And I really want to thank you for showing up for us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
There you go, listeners. We've been talking with Gordon Fredrickson. And, Gordon, would you like to give us your website address?
www.gordonfredrickson.com.
And I've been on your site, and it's great. And, listeners, he has two books under If I Were a Farmer. Fieldwork is one we were talking about, and the other one is If I Were a Farmer, Nancy's Adventure. Take a look at his site. He's got a lot of books. And consider getting them for your kids or your grandkids. It'll really get them to see another part of life, especially if you're city livers. Thank you so much again, Gordon, and thank you, audience, for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.